Last week was one of uncertainty around vaccination and supply. This week is one for decisions. Decisions on whether to widen the interval between delivery of the first and second doses of Pfizer and Moderna and on the rollout of the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. At last night's NPHET briefing, the Acting Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ronan Glynn, was optimistic about the latest figures and trends and the overall situation here.
We're seeing an ongoing improving situation in relation to incidence, numbers of people in hospital. The number of people in critical care has stabilised at about 50, and we're seeing about 2 new admissions on average to intensive care each day. And then in relation to deaths confirmed per day, although we've reported no deaths today, we've reported approximately 8 deaths on average over recent days. Although many of those, just to caution, will be from January, February and March of this year. So as I said, ongoing improvement in the overall situation with a 5-day moving average now of 364 cases per day, which is the lowest it's been for some months.
That's Dr. Ronan Glynn. Our health correspondent Fergal Bowers is with me now. All positive signs there from the Acting Chief Medical Officer, Fergal. And moving on to vaccinations, he is the man who will ultimately decide after he's consulted if we should stick to the plan now or should vary the interval between the delivery of the doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Are there early indications on his thinking?
Well, I think there may not be a need to widen the gap between the first and second doses of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. And currently, the authorised licence gap is 3 weeks for Pfizer and 4 weeks for Moderna. But the experts, they have been looking at, you know, the possibility of extending that maybe up to 8 weeks or up to 12 weeks. It would allow more people get a significant benefit from a first dose. But I suppose the principal thing is that you don't need to do that if you have enough vaccines. It's only if there's a vaccine shortage would you really want to go down that road. So Dr. Ronan Glynn, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, he said there were pros and cons to it. If you did extend the gap, you'd prolong the vaccination programme. Do you want to do that? It's already long enough, really. And no decision has to be made now at this moment. So no recommendation has yet been made to government. And Dr. Glynn wants to hear from the European Medicines Agency later this week on its position on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which was paused last week to allow for an investigation and review of the reports of a small number of rare blood clots. So no decision yet to extend the interval. It may not happen. It's important to say here that none of this applies to the AstraZeneca vaccine, which already has a 12-week interval between the first and second dose, and indeed in some cases 16 weeks. So people who will get or get the AstraZeneca vaccine, they do have to wait 3 months, maybe up to 4 months for their second dose.
Fergal, I want to move on to these concerns raised at the NPHET briefing last night as well about this B1617 variant first identified in India. Let's hear first from Dr. Killian de Gascon about this and the other variants first identified in Brazil and South Africa.
It is a concern in the context that the number, I suppose, continues to increase, but obviously we're doing a lot of testing, whether that's through contact tracing of the existing cases and then testing as people as they arrive from overseas travel. There is a proportion, a component, I think it's probably in the region of 20-25% that doesn't have an obvious link to travel, so there's obviously public health investigations ongoing in relation to that. So in the context of the number of cases we have, it's still very small, but it does continue to increase. So I think it's something that we need to be remain sort of vigilant and try to contain and control as much as we can.
Dr. Killian de Gascon there. Fergal, 3 cases here so far, over 100 in the UK of this Indian variant, and the UK moving now to put India on its red list of countries. What do we know about this variant?
Well, I suppose the most important thing is the Indian variant is not yet a variant of concern. The 3 variants of concern are the UK variant, the Brazilian and the South African. Now, NPHET says that the number of cases of the Indian variant, it's 3, and they've identified those cases in recent days. They don't have data to determine if the Indian variant is more transmissible or not. And NPHET's expecting guidance on this, on the transmission issue, from the European Centre for Disease Control this week.
This question of the red list of countries, as I say, the UK moving to place India on that list, was there any question of that being raised with Dr. de Gasperi or with Ronan Lynn?
I suppose not at this point. It's clear that they're looking for more information in relation to this variant. And if it becomes, if it's officially designated as a variant of concern, then, you know, you could see those kind of measures.
Okay. Now, on the delivery of vaccination, the HSE now has, I think, 19 of its proposed 37 centres open and operating for business, around 1,500 vaccinators. So do you anticipate that we're now going to see this week, Fergal, a significant stepping up of the vaccination programme?
Well, you'll recall that overall the previous target was to do 250,000 vaccinations each week in April. Now, this coming week, the expectation is that 170,000 vaccinations will be done. So for each week that the targets or the aims aren't met, it pushes on the numbers that need to be vaccinated in the weeks which follow. So it does add to pressure. That portal for registering people aged 65 to 69 age group, well, that opened last Thursday. And at this point, you know, those aged 65 to 69, they can still register. By yesterday evening, 135,000 people had done so online or by phone. But there's 224,000 people in that age group, according to the CSO data. So you'd have to say quite a number of people haven't registered. Now, some may have been captured in other groups, high-risk medical groups or some nursing home cases, perhaps. But it's quite a large number. Everyone in that 65 to 69 age group will get the AstraZeneca vaccine. That's the vaccine that has been allocated for that particular group. Perhaps that's causing some concern among some people in relation to that, that they'd like to have a choice. But those are the numbers as of now.
Okay, and they're moving on to the group now between 60 and 65.
Yes, the HSE said it hopes to open registration for people aged 60 to 65 years later this week. And again, on that earlier point I made about AstraZeneca, you know, for people who get their first doses, you know, those aged 65 to 69 or even 60 to 69, it'll be the end of July, you know, before many of them get their second dose.
And I know there's a further briefing note to the Health Committee today in relation to the categories and age groups and so on and delivery of vaccinations. But just on those who received a vaccination, Fergal, maybe out of turn, will they get the second vaccination now within the time period that they should receive it?
Yes, I suppose the simple answer is yes. In a submission to the Oireachtas Health Committee today, the HSE said, you know, once the first dose had been given, it's ethically obliged to complete the vaccination of second doses. And it has said it very much regrets the incidents in which a number of people received the first dose out of the agreed sequence of the government allocation priority groups. But it says people have to get the second dose. That's in accordance with the manufacturer's instructions, and in the absence of any contraindications, they will get their second dose.
All right. Fergal Bowers, our health correspondent, thank you very much.